Welcome back to the new season of the Michael Lawson Speaks podcast. This is episode 6 of Bereshit, in the beginning, a commentary to the book of Genesis. So, here we are on day 6 of God's creating. Things are going to really start to pick up now, as if they already hadn't, by simply speaking things into existence. But what I'm referring to is the climax we have been inching towards, the crown jewel of creation. This episode will be a little bit longer, and for good reason. So let's begin. We're going to be looking at verses 24 through 31. Let's start with verses 24 through 25. Then God said, "Let the earth produce living creatures according to their kind, livestock and crawling things, and animals of the earth according to their kind." And it was so. God made all the animals of the earth according to their kind, and the livestock according to their kind, and God saw that it was good. So, I had to break this commentary into two parts. So this is part one, because it is so rich, and the second part needs its own commentary, which you will see why in just a little bit. But what I want you to notice is the order. Not the sequence, but the order to which God creates. Everything according to their kind. Everything that lives, no matter what, was created according to its kind. So, what does that even mean? Now, I did go over this a bit in a previous episode, but in the plain sense, it means that nothing was cross-pollinated or mixed together to create something else. Pretty simple. Now, I don't know if you caught that or not, but did you notice that there was no mention of a blessing or instructions as with the other living creatures? Did you catch that? Listen to this. According to Jewish writings found either in the Midrash or the Talmud, the reason for the omission is because God did not want to bless the animals, because that would mean having to include the serpent in that blessing. Just something interesting to think about. Okay. That was part one. Now let's get into part two, which we're going to be covering in verses 26 through 31. Here we go. Got to clear my throat for this one. Sorry about that. Okay. Starting in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over all the earth and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every animal of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. Wow. Wow, that is a lot to take in. There is so much there. I mean, we could literally spend hours parked right there. We have reached the crown jewel of God's creation. The reason why he created everything. Now, there is so much that has already been written about when it comes to the choice of words that the author, Moses, was instructed to use, so I won't spend too much time there. But let that sink in for a moment, that you're the reason he created everything, and you're the reason, if you're the reason, you must therefore have a purpose, and if you want to know what it is, just ask the one who created you. Now, you see how fast we could go so many places with just these verses alone, and that's not even over-spiritualizing the text either. Now, I believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, which would be in Hebrew, was in the beginning with God as the Word of God, which spoke everything into existence. And I also believe that when God said, "Let there be light," that light was the light of the world, because we already know that the sun and the moon were not created until day four. Let us not forget that the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters way back in verse 2. So we have God the Father creating, God the Son, the light of the world, and God the Spirit hovering when the entire universe trembled with excitement at the bellowing roar of, "Let us create mankind in our image according to our likeness." Man, that gives me chills every time I think about it. So, let's break this down starting in verse 26 where it says, "Then God said, let us." Hold on. Who's the us he's referring to here? If you agree with the Midrash or the Talmud, the us God is referring to is the angels. Now, I personally would vehemently disagree based on what I said moments ago, and we'll expound upon in a moment. The verse continues with, "Make mankind." Well, we got to stop right there, because as I have pointed out on more than one occasion, the Hebrew word for mankind is Adam. And this is important, as will become evident very soon. Let's continue on. "In our image, according to our likeness." Okay, full stop. What is the image and likeness of God based on what we know so far? God has no form or likeness, so what is this image and likeness that Moses is referring to? Could it be creativity, order, and precision? Everything God created was in order and with great precision, and then declared it was very good. When we think about image and likeness, we're not talking about physical form, but more like attributes and attitudes. For example, if you've ever heard the phrase, "You're the spitting image of your father." Now, no one is saying that you as a person look like your dad, although you may look strikingly like him. But what they are really telling you is that the way you act, carry yourself, mannerisms are just like your dad's in this example. I should say again, just to be clear, that all examples break down when trying to explain God. And there's a good reason for that. Why would you want to be able to explain God? I mean, if you could explain God, then he's not God. He's something that can be explained. Yet our God, the Creator God, is unexplainable yet completely knowable. How do you like that for a paradox? And verse 26 ends with, "And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over all the earth and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." Okay, that was awesome. Let's move on to verses 27 through 28. Starting in verse 27, "So God created man, mankind, Adam, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created him, them." There is really not much you can say here without trying to over-spiritualize the text as some do. So let's just take the plain meaning of the text and let the realities we see around us speak for themselves. There is only one kind of human being, and in that kind you have male and female. When that kind is fruitful and multiplies on the earth, you get more of the same kind, yet different varieties, shapes, colors, and so on and so forth, but you still only have one kind. Picking up in verse 28, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Listen to the added instructions given to mankind that go far beyond the "fruitful and multiply and fill the earth," but to also subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What an amazing charge of responsibility that was given to them. Not only have we just witnessed the Creator God speak everything into existence, layer upon layer, with such precision and care for the sole purpose of his crown jewel that he just handed the keys to. Think about that for a moment. Mankind did absolutely nothing to receive this amazing gift from God, and now they are responsible for it. And before you think this only applies to these first two created beings, you'd be wrong. It applies to you and me as well, which we will get into later. But for now, that's enough of spiritualizing the text, albeit accurately. Now, let's go back real quick. And what about all those portions of scripture about the food? In verse 29, where it says, "Behold, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit-yielding seed, it shall be food for you." And then picking up in verse 30, or continuing into verse 30, where it says, "And so every animal on the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so." This is very simple. Yes, they were vegetarians at the time. But as we know, that will change, but we're only going to stay right here, parked right here, until we get to the next set of verses. But for now, yes, they were vegetarians. Alrighty. So, there was evening and there was morning, a sixth day. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. Shalom.